You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome to a special edition of the Roto Experts in the Morning. And of course, we got you fired up. Fantasy baseball's right around the corner. So we're going to teach you how to play fantasy baseball and how to win, because that's the important part, right? You got to have a plan when you come in and you play fantasy baseball. Like, the thing is, if you're going to be successful at anything in life, you got to have a plan. You got to know how to go about it. And if you've never won before, if you've never played before, how do you go about it? How do you learn how to be a champion in fantasy baseball? Well, we're going to give you a couple of the steps that it takes to become a champion. And they're simple steps, but if nobody's taught them to you before, you don't know. Because it's the funniest thing, right? I took my kid to a gas station the other day. And I said, hey, my PIN number is 3863. Take care of this. And so I could see he was like bewildered on what to do and how to go about it and how to buy something with my debit card. And you know what he says to me? Dad, they don't teach that us in school. And I said, you know what? You're right. Why don't they take the kids shopping one day? Give him all like $5 and teach him the basic necessities out of buying an item. That would be schooling. And it's the same thing in fantasy baseball. If I just hand you a book or a magazine or a website, how do I expect you to go out there and be victorious and become a fantasy baseball champion? I think that's asking too much. I think we're going about it the wrong way. So now I'm going to tell you how to become a winner. Now, one of the things that people will always do is you'll go to your favorite website, and of course, the Roto Experts, I will have a fine baseball exclusive edge package. Guys like Ron Chandler have great magazines. Baseball Prospectus puts great things out there. FanGraphs puts great things out there. But what they tell you about is the players. And I got to tell you, having the right players on your fantasy baseball team, at best, is 50% of the work. At best. That's 50% of the work. Like, they could tell you all they want about all the players. They can throw out all their projections. What does it mean? What does it mean if you don't grasp the concept of winning at fantasy baseball? So it all means is that you just pick players based on these projections, based on what round they think they should go, by some standard ADPs, and you think that's going to be victorious? No. You're going to be like my producer, Frank Stanfill. Frank wants to be rich when he grows up. Frank, how are you going to be rich? I haven't figured that part out yet. That's what you're doing. So let's get a grip, and let's get a plan, and let's go after this in a methodical approach and be successful playing fantasy baseball. First thing you need to do, you need to join a league. Right? All right? Simplistic in nature. Now, if you have been playing in leagues and you just haven't been successful, this will be easier. So if you're playing in a league that you played in last year, whether you're successful or not, we're ahead of the game. So what I want you to do is I want you to go into that league website that you played in, and I want you to look at last year's standings, and I want you to look the year before standings, and I want you to go and take a look at those for the last 2 years. That's what I need you to do. Now, if you haven't played in that league, what I need you to do is ask your commissioner for a copy of last year's standings. go ahead and grab that. Now, the reasons why I want your league standings is we need to have targets. And when you need to have targets, you need to know what your league gets for third place in each of the categories. So that would be runs, RBIs, stolen bases, home runs, and batting average. Some people fluctuate with OBP and others, but you need to know in that league what the standings were for last year, definitely, but I would go this 2 years back as well, and then I would average them out. So we need to find that out when we sign up for a league. Okay? So you get the standings, and we're going to create targets. And by creating targets is we're going to look at third place in every single category, with the exception in the pitching categories of wins and saves. The reason being is that you're going to change your pitching lineup throughout the year. In most leagues, you have 9 starters. So what I basically want to do, you have 9 pitching spots, right? And they don't dictate starters or relievers. If they do dictate starters or relievers, it makes it easier. But most leagues, they don't. So what I want to do is I want to get 3 closers on my team, and I want to get a minimum of 14 total pitchers. So if I have 3 closers, I want 11 starters on my team. And what I try to do is I'm trying to maximize innings pitched. So basically, I want to go and I want to get enough of these quality pitchers that I can rotate a couple guys out and in my lineup so I can have 2 star pitchers in my lineup. Now, you never want to get to a point where you're going to sit Max Scherzer out because Clay Buchholz has a 2-game start. That's not what you're going to do. That's not what you want. But if Clay Buchholz has a 2-game start and he's pitching against the Oakland A's in Oakland, and he's pitching against the Angels of Anaheim in L.A., 2 pitcher ballparks that are friendly to pitchers as opposed to hitters, and your normal 9th starter is not Clay Buchholz because he's not pitched well and he hasn't been getting done. Say it's Sonny Gray. Well, you would take Sonny Gray out of your lineup that week, and you would put Clay Buchholz in. So you're going to have the position flexibility on your pitching staff to go back and forth. And even though you have 3 closers on your team, I don't use 3 closers every week. So basically what I'll do is if I have a stud closer, like I have a Jose, if I have a Chapman, right? I have a Aroldis Chapman on my team. I have Kenley Jansen on my team. They stay in my lineup every time they're healthy. I never move them. Don't worry about it. But say I have a Houston Street on my team. I have a Fernando Rodney on my team. Now, when they have 5 games that week, so they have weeks that they only have 5 games, I take them out for another starter. And what I do is I watch how the closer situation's going, how the saves go, and it'll be weeks that I'll get away from the 3 and I'll go back to 2 because I got to keep my strikeouts and my wins by having those pitchers in there, those starting pitchers. So I got to have flexibility with my pitching staff to be successful in fantasy baseball. So what the point is that you can't look and say, oh, I have 3 closers and I have 6 starters in my starting lineup week 1. Let me add up the wins for the 6 starters. It comes up to 63. My target was 80. Oh, no, what am I going to do? I'm 17 wins short. No. You're not 17 wins short because we're going to play with that number. And those 6 starters are not going to be the entire representative of your total at the end of the year. Because some weeks you're going to have 6 starters in your lineup. Some weeks you're going to have 7. So that's going to balance out. And we're going to pick up those 12 more wins somewhere down the line. They might get to the end of the season where, hey, you know what? I'm not going to gain 1 or 2 points in saves. But I'm looking at this. I can gain 5 points in the strikeout column. I could gain 4 points in the win column. And then I go with only 2 closers. Or maybe even 1 closer. And I go at it with the starting pitching. But the key to it all is it can't just be any other starter. It's got to be quality. because if you put a bad starter in, your ERA and your WHIP can go through the roof. So you got to pay more attention to than just the counting categories. You've got to get the averages in play too. So I am of the opinion when it comes to pitching that you can use a middle reliever or a long reliever that has a great K per nine rate. So anything nine or over instead of a pitcher that doesn't strike anybody out and you're just putting in because you couldn't get enough pitches on your roster, a Bartolo Colon, say. If Bartolo Colon has a 4.50 ERA and a 1.47 whip and he pitches 180 innings, that is going to hurt you. That is going to hurt you as opposed to help you, and you don't want to get in that situation. What you would rather have is the middle reliever who pitches two or three times a week, and when he gets out there, he gets two strikeouts a game, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're looking at, hey, I got a guy coming in that's not killing my ERA or whip, and I'm getting a couple strikeouts from him as much as a poor starter. I'm okay here. And that's how it works at the pitching perspective. And that's how you need to go and put things together and be successful in fantasy baseball. But we've got other things that we've got to cover. We've got to cover the whole roster construction, how you go about it. I am going to take you through one of my teams and how as I was successful and building a good team. Now, I need you to also pick your league. If you're first time playing in a league, a 10-team league for you is going to bring you an easier situation. When I mean easier situation, you're not getting to the bottom of the barrel. You're not really going to have to worry about your fifth outfielder being a guy that only plays four or five times a week. You're also not going to be worried about a guy that's in a platoon situation, righty or lefty. So if you're a first-time player, I think you're playing at 10 games situation. 12-team league, it's more of the standard variety there. You're going to go a little deeper. What I like to play is the 14-team variety, and we play in 15-team, sorry, in the NFBC format. And with the 15-team, you have to know every single player in Major League Baseball. You have to know every position battle, what it could come down to. You have to know the projections of all 800 players. And you'll have to be diligent on the waiver wire. If there's trading in the league, you've got to be on top of your categories. These are things that the 14-team league or 15-team league brings into play when it comes to fantasy baseball. It is for the guys that are a little more advanced, the guys that beat up on the 12-team leagues and they're saying, hey, I'm the man. You're not the man. Go and win in an NFBC league before you declare yourself the man. You just beat your incompetent friends so far, okay? I don't mean to insult your incompetent friends. It's not their fault. It's their parents. Don't blame them. They're not to blame. So you play in a 15-team league. You use the whole league. And then you have to make that draft so important. And you got to hit on all your players because there's going to be very little on the waiver wire. It won't be obsolete. It won't be bare. But you have to hold on. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back from break, I'm going to tell you exactly what we're going to do as far as categories, how we're going to attack them, who are the players we're going to attack, and what we need to do in these leagues with these targets we spoke about earlier in the show. I will give you sample targets from a 15-team league, and you can write these down, you can spill them out, and you can use them in your leagues, especially if you got any NFB slow drafts coming up. This will help you in all those contests. So you're listening to a special edition of the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Tony Sincotta. We're going to teach you how to win at fantasy baseball because that's what it's all about. You want a little change in your pocket that goes jing-a-ling-a-ling, or do you want fantasy baseball championships that last forever? Everybody will be proud of you when they realize that you're a fantasy baseball champion. Your wife will make love to you more than just New Year's Eve or Christmas or your birthday. She likes to make love to fantasy baseball champions. So don't go anywhere. You'll listen to Roto Experts in the Morning. Welcome back to the Fantasy Baseball Show. As we get you ready for Fantasy Baseball 2017 and how to be good and how to win when it comes to fantasy baseball. So at the beginning of the show, what I told you is that you need targets and you need to be successful and you have to have a plan. You need a plan, right? You can't be successful in anything in life without a plan. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at a 15-team league here. And we're going to tell you what the targets are going to be based on last year's statistics. Now, batting average is a tough one. I think when a lot of people go in to their drafts, what you do is you're looking at the home runs, RBIs, and stolen bases, and a lot of people seem to neglect the batting average. That is not something we suggest you do. We suggest that you take care of the batting average and the rest will follow. So I'm only going to put one or two at the most poor batting average players. And then I will be able to sustain my batting average. I'll be able to hit the other categories. And if I have to get a little power, that one bat won't kill me with a poor batting average. So, third place in batting average, we want to hit about 270. If we can get a 270 batting average, that will keep us right around third place. And the reason why we're looking for third place, it's unrealistic if you're playing in an auction format or even a rotisserie format to go after first place in each category. We don't have to win every category. We have to compete. We have to be right there. If you go and win each category and then you go after that category, then you come up short in the other, it's a failure. Like, you don't want to just get first place in seven categories and then dead last in three. You're not going to win. It's not going to be successful. So we want to create a balanced approach when we put this together. So a 270 batting average is what we're going to shoot for. And look at the names of a team with a 270 batting average last season. This is from the 2016 season. This is the team that, on their fantasy season, they put together a decent squad, and these are the names that were associated with coming out and saying, hey, Albert Pujols hit 268. You had Miguel Cabrera at 316. Mitch Moreland was used for 204 bats at 235. Ryan Howard was only used for 94 at bats, and he hit 160. Ian Kinsler, 288. Joe Panik only used for 378 bats at 227 batting average. David Wright was another one, 137 bats at 226. Martin Prado, a guy that doesn't help you in the other categories. He had 7 home runs last year. He only had 50 runs scored and 59 RBIs. But in 398 bats, he helped your batting average. Yonel Escobar, he had 347 through 101 at bats. This guy used him. So he bring him no home runs and only 13 runs and 14 RBIs, but served a purpose with the batting average. Buster Posey, 539 at bats. He had a 288 batting average there. But Stephen Vogt, 251. Andrew McCutchen, 256. Austin Jackson, 292. Encentia Adsate, 311. Malik Smith had a 242. Then he also had Elvis Andrews at 302. And Johnny Peralta, 110 bats, had 200 batting average. And Jose Iglesias, 364, but only 22 at bats. So the guys that he had on his team that provided a great batting average with, let's say, over 300 at bats were Miguel Cabrera, 316. And then he had Martin Prado, 305. But Prado was a guy that didn't deliver many other offensive statistics for people. Yenel Escobar, 347. Then Enciarte, 311, and that was almost in 400 bats. And he does bring the opportunity with Enciarte to get you some stolen bases there. So it isn't an empty batting average number, which is something you want to look for there. We just don't want these one-category guys. You can get away with one of them, maybe, like the Billy Hamiltons of the world, but you can't have two guys on your roster that don't deliver you home runs, RBIs, or runs scored. It's just not going to work in a roto-style format. It is not something we're going to be successful with. And that's what we're trying to do today, is breed success. So take out your pencil and write batting average. I need to hit 270. That's where I'm going for in a 15-team league. In a 12-team league, I need you to go look at your league last year and see where you go. And if you play in keeper leagues or dynasty leagues, the numbers are hugely distorted because people have kept guys on their rosters, and it's not a fair and balanced league anymore. So those leagues, you definitely need the statistics from the year before. You need to have the statistics from the year before. If you play in a keeper league or a dynasty league and they're more than 2 years in, you better have the stats, because you better need to know what you need to get in every category. Get that information. You have time now. Beg the commissioner and beg everybody else in your league. Runs scored. We're looking for 1,100 runs scored. Now, this is a category that a lot of people miss on. Like, they don't think of runs scored. Here's what initially everybody thinks. Runs scored. I got to go out and I got to get leadoff hitters. No. You don't need leadoff hitters. You need guys to get on base on good offensive teams with a good batting average, and you'll be fine. My team last year, which was in the top 10 in the NFBC auction overall, here are the run scored guys I had on my team. I had DJ LeMahieu, who batted leadoff for second most of the year, 102 runs scored. Brian Dozier batted leadoff 100. But Chris Davis hit fourth. He had 99. So he had three less runs scored than those two leadoff hitters. Charlie Blackman hit at 107 runs scored. Mark Trumbo, 94. He was seven away from the most on my team. He hit fourth or fifth. So it's just guys that get on base in good offensive environments is where to attack. It is not the leadoff hitters. The leadoff hitters getting all the runs scored is the Loch Ness Monster of fantasy baseball. It's just one of those things everybody thinks, everybody talks about, but in reality, it's not real. The Loch Ness Monster, I believe, is not real. And neither is that every leadoff hitter is going to lead the run scored. It's just not happening, and it doesn't happen like that. So 1,100 is what we want for run scored. 270 in batting average. You're listening to a special edition of the Roto Experts in the Morning, How to Win at Fantasy Baseball in 2017, as we're getting you ready and we're getting you fired up to be successful in fantasy baseball. Home runs, 304 home runs. See, this is where I made a mistake. So I came in third place. I came in a top 10 finish. Well, these are the things, right? So I came in first in home runs, but I came in 34 points higher than everybody else. You might say, yeah, rock on, chicks dig the long ball. No. Those 34 extra home runs that I spent in this auction, that I paid for, that money could have been used elsewhere. And maybe I would have went up. I lost in whip. I got 9 points in whip. I was .002. away from 13 points. So if I had spent that extra $2 on a pitcher with a good whip instead of another home run hitter, I might have won this thing. Instead of being top 10 overall, I might have got paid. So just because you win the category, if you see yourself go way over it, you hurt yourself somewhere else. Remember, you still get 15 points whether you win by 1 or you win by 30. The number we want is 300. Now, do you need a whole lot of home run hitters to reach 300? No. Not really. Got a team in front of me. Mitch Moreland. He only had 5 home runs in this guy's lineup. Bayhome Park. Remember that Minnesota Twin guy that was going to hit 40 home runs? He come in, well, he hit 11 home runs. Gene Segura, 20 home runs. Neil Walker, 21. Eugenio Suarez, 20. Jake Lamb, 25. Do you have to go out of your way and spend a lot of money to get Segura, Neil Walker, Eugenio Suarez, Jake Lamb? No. Salate, 14 home runs. Marcell Ozuna, 23. Chris Davis, the A's Chris Davis, 42 home runs. Bryce Harper, 24. George Springer, 29. Gregory Polanco, 22. Only a couple of those guys are going to cost you money. The Bryce Harpers, the George Springers in the world. You'll be able to get these other players on the cheap. So balanced 25 home run guys, 20 home run guys, they pay off. There was no one on this team that hit 30 home runs. They had that one guy, Chris Davis, that hit 42, and the rest were in the 20s, and most of them were in the low 20s. So you don't have to go crazy banging power in your team. Get a balanced approach and go after your 300 home runs that way. You're listening to How to Win at Fantasy Baseball, and a special edition of the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Tony Cicada, and of course you can listen to me on the Roto Experts in the Morning, 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, with Greg Sussman, Scotty Engel, and the fantasy executive, Corey Parson. We're getting ready to get ready for some baseball draft preparation over there, and you guys need to be part of it, and you guys need to be part of the family, the top sports show in the country. We're nominated for another award. 2 years ago, we took away the Best Fantasy Sports Radio Show Award, and if we don't win this week, it's fixed. So that's the way it is. You're listening to the Roto Experts, the Morning Special Edition Fantasy Baseball. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to break down the next category you're going to have to be successful in and what the number is that you'll need to get. We've done home runs. 300 home runs is what you need. You need 1,100 runs scored. You need a 270 batting average. Are you sitting there asking yourself, how many RBIs do I need to be successful? What do I got to get for RBIs? Stay tuned for more from Fantasy Baseball Preview. Welcome back to the Fantasy Baseball How to Win Special, because that's all we want to do is we want to breed winners. We want your parents to be proud that when they made love in the back seat of a Chevrolet, or was it a Chrysler? It couldn't have been a Hyundai. And they conceived a child that he became a fantasy baseball champion. And that's what we're searching for today. And the RBI category, the number we're looking for is 1070 for runs batted in. And when you look at putting together a runs batted in team, right? We talked about the run score. We went over the illusion that a lot of people think that the Loch Ness Monster and the run score are counted in the same way, that you had to have leadoff hitters when you have plenty of guys in the middle of order that were getting run scored. Well, when you look at the RBIs, you're looking at Daniel Murphy, who hit number 2 in the order a lot, hit 104 RBIs. You did have him hit some number 3 there. Adrian Beltre at 102 RBIs. He hit in the middle of the order there. Mike Trout in the top 2 spots had 100 RBIs from those spots. So it's not that you have to be in the middle of the order to get those RBIs. But what we want to do is we look for the number 1,100. And don't be alarmed if you have more runs scored than RBIs, because that happens on occasion and don't think that you made an error in your judgment when you put together your rankings and your lists. And how do you keep track during the draft? This is an interesting situation. So what I do is I either have a piece of paper that lists every position, and then I'll have the like a graph paper, and then I'll have the RBIs, run scored, and all the 10 categories, right? So basically you get a little graph paper, and I fill in the boxes by hand by using a pencil or a pen, and then I keep track as I go. Because you got to know, it's great to know the targets, but you actually have to know how many you need to reach these targets, right? Now, you can use a lot of the software that's available out there from some of the sites provide you software solutions and there. But I never had success with it. I just couldn't keep up with the draft. I'd be, you know, entering my players, and then I'd be looking for players because I don't want to use draft software that's going to be telling me the players that I could pick that will reach the projections there, because I want to be the guy making the picks. But I need the knowledge to know where I am. So I didn't use it. I just did the old-fashioned way. I can add really good. Hell, I bet it by now, right? And I got my graph paper. I got my and my pencil. And I write down the player. I write down, you can use fan graphs and use the projections from there. And you can put it right across the board. It takes you, it should take 30 seconds. And then you just add up as you go along. And you have to do this diligently to be successful. You have to know where you are in the draft. So there you have it for the runs scored, the RBIs, the home runs, and the batting average. So what is the stolen bases? Now, stolen bases are tricky. I look at a number of 160. Now, I accomplished this, and I thought I was going to be short. When I left the draft, I thought I was short on stolen bases. And every once in a while, remember, folks, it's better to be lucky than good. So, the stolen bases. Brian Dozier gave me 17. DJ LeMahieu gave me 11. Those numbers came up a little shorter than I anticipated. Charlie Blackman at 16, a little shorter than I anticipated. I did get Colby Rasmus with 4 stolen bases, which I didn't have any expectations of. Gerardo Parra, 6 stolen bases, was shorter than I anticipated as well. And Freddie Galvis, I had 5. Now, where I hit it, and this is a big part of it, Starlin Marte overachieved. I knew he would steal stolen bases, but he had 47 stolen bases, which was big. And then you have to be diligent. You have to be successful. If you're going to win a championship, you better nail one or two of your waiver wire pickups. And I nailed one. And I nailed them for a couple bucks. That's it. Didn't spend a fortune. And that was with Eduardo Nunez, of course, the Minnesota Twins, former Yankee that always hit well when he played the professional level, but it didn't feel that well. Didn't think they really had a position for him. He had 35 stolen bases. So that put me over the top. So the bottom line is, on draft day, I knew I was short on stolen bases because I kept track of my categories, and I wasn't going to fool myself and say, oh, you did a great job, blah, 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 blah. No, 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 no. You got 35 stolen bases off the waiver wire, and yes, that's a great move by you, Tony. Great move. So that's what you guys got to do. And you got to know the category so you know what you're deficient in and take a shot when the opportunity arises for someone to have an opportunity in a different situation. So that's how you look at it. And I was able to acquire Eduardo Nunez, and I knew I needed a guy that could steal bases because I left the draft day saying, you know what, Tony? You did a great job. I'm proud of you. You're super, Tony. But you're short on stolen bases, man. Get out there and fix it. Get out there and make it happen. And I did. And I overcame because I got 35 stolen bases off the waiver wire. And I was fired up about it. Now we head over to the pitching categories. My name's Tony Sicada. You're listening to How to Win at Fantasy Baseball. It's a special, a preview show right here for the 2017 season. And I know the King, Scotty Angle, is looking forward to it because he thinks the Mets are going to finally win another Super Bowl. Baseball is coming underway, and I'm just finishing up football, and I screwed up on the Super Bowl. The King, Scotty Angle, he'll be excited about baseball. He likes his baseball. He likes being in the Mets clubhouse. Who can blame him? If I'm going to be in a clubhouse, that seems like anyone, nice one, I'd like to be in. I never thought about it. For sure, I never considered it. The pitching categories. Of course, we got five pitching categories. The first one is ERA. ERA, we don't want to go more than 3.68. 3.68 is where you go. And remember what I said in this category. If you don't have enough starting pitchers, quality pitchers in your lineup, and you want to go out and you want to grab a two-star pitcher, remember, this is a pitcher that's off the waiver wire. So it's not like he's guaranteed to have success. And in fact, he could hinder your ERA and WHIP so bad that it becomes painful. And I don't suggest hounding down two-star pitches every week. If you see one that's an attractive matchup and you see one that you could possibly get by on a poor offense, go ahead, take a shot at it. Go nuts. But don't throw them out there just because they're a two-star pitcher, because we saw it hurt teams time and time again by exploding their ERA and WHIP. When we come back, we'll get down the rest of the pitching categories and make sure you become a fantasy baseball semi-god. Not quite a god, just a semi-god. Stay tuned for more from Tony Sincotta. Yeah, welcome back to How to Win Fantasy Baseball. Part of the Roto Experts in the Morning crew. My name's Tony Sicada. Now, we're grooving here, right? Getting a little fantasy baseball. The winter weather's going away. We're going to play fantasy baseball. Yeah, you're getting excited, right? Yeah, we get so excited. You say, yeah, fantasy baseball. I'm going to show people I'm the man. We can't show them if you don't have a plan, and we're putting your plan together today for you to be victorious. Now, in the wins category, remember, I just went through earlier in the show how you can't just draft six starting pitchers and three closers or seven starting pitchers and two closers, add up the win totals and say, Tony, that don't equal 100. I can't win. No, it's not going to equal 100 because I also told you to get four extra starting pitchers. We're going to hit the waiver wire if we need to during the weeks. And we're going to get two starting pitchers in our lineups, which distorts everything we just talked about. So what I want to do is I need to get as close as I can to 100 on draft day. So basically, what I'm looking for is if I can get 12 to 16 wins per pitcher, I got a shot to get to that total. But that's what I need. That's the kind of love and admiration you need when you put your pitching staff together. Now, WHIP. I always protect my WHIP. You got to protect the WHIP. How do you protect the WHIP when you play fantasy baseball? Well, the target we're shooting for is 1.29. That's what we want to get. 1.29. Now, you can't go and throw guys on your roster with a WHIP of 1.6 or above. There needs to be zero of those. Zero of those. Get it through your mind. Just cross them off your list. But we're going to go and try to nail things for 1.20. Bottom line is that, remember, if you got a pitcher that's being exposed, or if you got a pitcher that's playing in Colorado, you got a pitcher that's pitching against the Boston Red Sox at Fenway Park, you're better off than throwing that guy out there twice that week. picking up a middle reliever that dominates. And there's guys out there that dominate that just don't get enough playing time and people don't know who they are. But fantasy owners need to know who they are. You need to know who the top middle relievers are. You need to know who the top setup man are so you can get those strikeouts in those limited innings that they're in. And then you have to. You have to use them. And you got to pick your spots. You always got to stay flexible. Always. When it comes to put together your fantasy baseball roster. Now the strikeout totals, remember, these numbers you're going to also be short on game day. Because when you finish the draft, you end up saying, hey, I need to get 1,400 strikeouts. And when I look at 1,400, how do I get to that number? How do I get to 1,400 strikeouts? But remember, you can't just add up six starting pitches, strikeouts, and think you're going to get $4,000. You're coming up short. You can't do it with seven starting pitches. But you got to get some two-start pitches in there in some weeks, and then you'll be able to get to this 1,400 total. So what I want on draft day is around 1,200 strikeouts, and then I'm going to get those 200 by mixing and matching and putting guys in there. That's how you attack it, and that's how you become successful when putting your plan together. Now, saves. I need to get 90 saves. So to get 90 saves, you'd actually have to draft three pretty good pitchers. But what's going to happen during the year is I think you need at least two on your roster. I would get three in the draft, and I would not use them every week. I already told you, if you have a closer that's outside the top 10 closers in Major League Baseball, and he has a five-game week, go and use that extra starter in that case. Go and use the third closer on when they have a full workload of games that week, and you could pick up some saves. And don't be afraid, even if the guy's on the shittiest team in the world, because guess what happens? Those guys get 30 saves too. Everybody gets 30 saves as long as they start and finish the year as the closer and they're not on the injured list. They will come through and they will have 30 saves. So that total, you want to get to 90. And those are the targets that you have in Fantasy Baseball 2016. These are the things you need to write down on the bottom of your spreadsheet, what you're trying to accomplish on draft day. To be successful, you need to accomplish something. And what you need to accomplish is reaching your targets. What are my targets, once again? What do I have to do? When you put your roster together, your team batting average should be 270. That's your goal. If you're at 267, you're at 266, don't worry about it. Don't fret about it. We can hit the waiver wire. We approve of the team just a little, make a little trade if we have to, and then bang, we're going to get up to 270. Then the runs scored. We got to get to 1,100. We've got to get 1,100. This is something you should be tracking continuously through the year. See if it's a shot that you're going to have 1,100. And if you're going to be short, is the rest of the league short? Is the league down in runs scored? Those are the things you have to evaluate as the season goes along. Home runs. We've got to get 300 home runs. And we see power going down, but it was back up last season a little bit. And you don't have the big 40 home run guys anymore. You have just more guys of hitting 20, 25. And it's okay to have a balanced approach to get there. And remember, the bottom line is it was 208. That's the bottom line as you look at these teams and you put it together and you go after it. And you go after it hard. And you don't want to be anything less than a champion. Because we only breed champions at rotoexperts.com. The RBIs, we want to get 1070 as our target. 1070, write that down on your piece of paper and make sure you have the correct number. Stolen bases, we want 180 in this one. 180 stolen bases is where you're at. And remember, I was a guy that didn't get it done. But I never gave up. Never, ever gave up. Just like the soccer coach. The soccer coach, his team might lose 10, 12 games in a row. He's still got crazy passionate fans. and he never gives up. He just gives them a better speech. He just talks a little longer and does what he has to do for everybody to be successful. At the RBIs, we have a 1,070 RBIs is what we're looking for. Stolen bases, we want 160 stolen bases. That is what it's going to take to be successful from an offensive standpoint in the world of fantasy baseball. And, of course, this is the Roto Experts in the Morning special edition of How to Win at Fantasy Baseball. As I got you all fired up and pumped up as the weather's turning, that little thing has seen a shadow. What is that little thing called? I don't know. Frank Stanfield's my producer today. Frank, I don't even know if he's here. Frank, they do a lot of things, these producers. They do amazing work. Frank, are you here?
What's up, Tony? No.
What's that thing that tells us winter's over? Oh, groundhog, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You seen a groundhog ever, or is he like the Loch Ness Monster?
Honestly, I've never been big on, like, this whole groundhog thing. I've never, like, watched it or followed it. I just kind of find out from people after it happens. It's a load of shit anyway.
You don't think the whole seeing a shadow is going to change how winter goes?
Oh, God. No, I don't think so.
How about the Farmer's Almanac?
What is that?
The Farmer's Almanac is a book that's out that like tells you the weather for the next 20 years.
Okay. Where do I find one of those?
Oh, they're everywhere. I can't believe you've never heard of the Farmer's Almanac.
No, it sounds familiar, but I don't think I've ever talked about it with anyone or been given a real description of it.
Yeah, you can go and get that on, you know, Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever you want to buy a book.
Well, you know what to buy me for Christmas now, Tony.
You need the Farmer's Almanac?
Yeah.
There you have it. We were ready to talk about groundhogs. But Frank says he doesn't give a shit. Back to fantasy baseball. What are you looking for in ERA? You need 3.70 or under to be successful in ERA. That's the target number you're looking for. And wins. We're looking for 100 wins in fantasy baseball. So you put your team together. 100 wins is what we're looking for. Now, whip. Always protect your whip. Never have a guy over 1.60. Never have more than one guy over 1.40. And live and die by your whip, and the rest of things will fall into categories. 1.24 is what we're looking for in whip. 1.24 or less. In the strikeouts, we need 1,400 strikeouts, and then we'll be happy campers in a 15-team league in fantasy baseball. And saves, we're looking for 90 saves. That's where you're going to go. Now, I am telling you once again, and I can't emphasize this enough, the targets I just gave you, if you play in a keeper league or a dynasty league that's been around for a while, those numbers are not going to do you any good because the league is distorted. Because what happens in a dynasty league or a keeper league is you get four really super teams and you get 3, 5, 7 crappy teams, and there's no middlemen. So the upper echelon teams dominate each and every category, and the numbers are farce. So you need to find out last year's standings. If you were in a keeper league or dynasty league, you need to find out last year's standings. Ask the commissioner for the standings. If he don't get them for you, date his wife. Do whatever you have to do to get those standings so you can create high accurate targets. And it's imperative to do this to be successful in a keeper league or a dynasty league. Those targets will work whether it's an auction league or a standard league when it comes to 15-team leagues. We'll come back and we'll get more great information throughout the year. Make sure you listen to the Roto Experts in the Morning from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern with myself, the King, Scotty Angle, and of course, the Fantasy Executive, Greg. The Fantasy Executive, I just called him Greg. His name's Corey Parson. I was going to call him Greg Brady. Because Greg Brady and Corey remind me so much of each other. Because they're both guys that, you know what, generations looked up to.
Like, I think in the black community, a lot of people wanted to be Corey Parson. In the white community, a lot of people wanted to be Greg Brady. And they had very similar traits to each other. So make sure you listen to the Roto Experts in the morning. And, of course, Greg Sussman, who is the leader of the pack. And we're not the whack pack, because we'll never want to be confused with anybody be called the whack pack. We're just guys that hang out and talk fantasy sports and life in general and give you guidance and give you suggestions to make you a fantasy stalwart, because that's what it's all about. So that's it. How to win in fantasy baseball in 2017. My name's Tony Cincotta, and good luck and good riddance.